Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Zelda Universe Podcast. Thank you very much for joining us this wonderful April. My name is Connor Schultz, and I am your host for this podcast event. We're going to call this an event because it's special. Special for a couple of reasons. First reason is I have not one, but three wonderful individuals from our Zelda Universe team joining me today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Anne. I know it's been a while since y'all have heard from me, because I'm usually in the background doing highlights for Zelda Universe, and I haven't streamed in a while, actually 2 years, but I'm excited to be back on the podcast. It's just an awesome experience to be able to talk to y'all.
And I am Caden. I've been on a couple of these here roundtables in the past, and I'm happy to be back. I like music. It's fun times.
And I'm Jason, also glad to be returning and be able to talk to you guys about Zelda and Nintendo-related stuff. As you know, I'm a big Zelda guy, just like all of you guys, but I'm a hardcore gamer as well, so this is a great time for me. Really great.
Thanks to all of you for being here with me this, well, depending on where and when you are, it's either afternoon or evening. Thank you whenever you happen to be. We actually have, all four of us are in four different time zones, which is always entertaining when you're trying to schedule stuff.
That sure is.
Yeah, that's true.
So, that's true. As of the recording of this podcast, it has been just a little bit over a week since we got our official direct and presentation of the successor to the Nintendo Switch. I can tell that the creative team was very passionate and enthused on the name selection process because they went with the Nintendo Switch 2.
Oh, God.
That is brilliant naming convention right there.
I know, right?
It's Nintendo at its best, man. Oh my God. When the rumors were confirmed, that's what it was called. Everybody was like, yeah, that's about right.
Oh gosh.
I am on the stance that they should have called it the Super Switch.
That was another rumor. Yeah, that was another rumor we were going at with. Yep. Yeah.
That would have been nostalgic if they ended up going that way.
It would have been perfect.
That would have been really
PlayStation
nostalgic.
Already
yeah.
does the one.
I can see the
two,
pros
three,
to
Xbox
either,
does
either
their
side.
Weird letter thing, but
yeah, they're gonna be
starting
on Xbox.
Come on, Nintendo, you're different. Be different. It's fun.
They didn't want to take too much of a chance this time, I guess.
You know,
well,
that's fair.
I mean, the Wii U
basically
was, yeah.
Switch, but better, so it makes sense. Because at least with the Super Nintendo, it looked like a very different system.
Yeah, yeah. I think they just didn't want to repeat that Wii U mistake, because that apparently confused so many people, you know? So I guess they were like, what, Switch? And Switch 2. End of story.
That is a good point. I remember watching a video about why the Wii U failed, and one of the big things was people very confused as to whether or not the Wii U was even its own thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember those days.
Well, they weren't that long ago.
10 years?
10 years?
It kind of feels like
10
it's
years.
Been a while.
It's like, wait a second, how long has it been?
Well, I know Xenoblade X came out in 2015.
Yeah, and okay. I'm being graceful because it was actually, what, 2013, right? So that's technically 12, but I just like to round it off to 10 and be safe.
Yeah.
Late 2012.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yep.
Wow, it's been a while.
Because wasn't Hyrule Warriors 2013 or 2014?
I think it was 2014. It was
2014.
Yeah, it was fairly early.
Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze was also 2014.
Yeah, okay, yep. Because I remember I had gotten it just before Hyrule Warriors came out. And I know it was around that time period.
2014? I was 15 years old. I was in high school. That's crazy.
You were 15? Yeah. Oh, that makes me feel old.
I am so sorry.
We're right there with you, Ann.
I was in my second year of medical school.
Nice.
I just got married during that year, so it's like, wow, I feel old.
See, this is what Zelda does. It unites people across all ages.
It does.
Exactly. Yeah. It's something that's nostalgic for everyone.
Exactly.
And every Zelda game is someone's first Zelda game.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
Very, very true.
And you can always go back into the past and try like the older style games, and they're still lovable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most Zelda games, the replayability is really high, no matter which one you play.
Agreed. Let's focus on the Switch itself before we get into more of the games. It's bigger. It's got more space. It's got more processing stuff. What do you think of the Switch itself? I know, Anne, you have a relatively unique take on it, so I'm going to hold off on yours. Let's start with Jason this time around. Jason, how do you feel about what they have shown us about the Switch 2?
All right, so I'll probably be the most optimistic guy in the room, but I'm loving it. Sorry.
Okay.
They didn't take the risk they normally do with the gimmicks. They just said, we're going to take what's been working and we're going to stick with it. Very unlike Nintendo, but a big win in this day's gaming world, because the Switch sold amazingly well. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They gave us what we asked for. They gave us upgraded visuals. The thing runs, 4K? I didn't even know we were going to get that. I'm like, probably solid 1080p across the board. No, it 4K, here you go. A bigger system. The games look amazing. I got my wish, which was something, Connor knows, something simple. Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom at 60 FPS. I'm sold. Maybe I'm the easy guy in the room, the easy mark, but they gave me what I wanted. And then they gave you something extra with it, with the Zelda notes. Like, I didn't really need to see much after that, but we had Metroid Prime. The Mario Kart world looks amazing, and Mario Kart is their biggest seller. So they just took that, and it looks like they made even more of an amazing game for it. And everything else, all the third-party games, they look amazing. We get an Elden Ring on there. Like, who saw that coming? You know what I mean? I'm good. I mean, a new system, it looks amazing. The price point is something we could debate, but let's be real. People were paying upwards of $800 for a PS5 Pro. So, let's read the room a little bit, but I'm good. I'm excited. And we got the GameCube app. Yep. Oh.
So Jason has basically just gone through pretty much the entirety of my notes for the podcast. So I guess we're good. We can hear everybody.
Sorry.
Have a wonderful night.
We're done.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Jason's ready to go.
Yeah. Shut up.
Shut up and take
my money.
Money.
Yep. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Caden, where are you at?
I'm also very optimistic. I am very much digging all the new specs and all the new features. I'm not sure how much mileage I'll get out of game chat, just because, I game at my desk. I really don't do portable or like on the couch in the living room downstairs. It's mostly just desk with laptop with game set up next to it. So I have Discord, easy access, and it just makes things easier. But for those like family gatherings, for the families that use, communicate in game across long distances, I think it's a really cool feature, and it only helps and only adds to the experience, in my opinion. Same thing with the webcam. Also, not going to get much mileage out of that personally, but definitely. I think it's all a plus. It doesn't take anything away.
Exactly.
Yeah, specs definitely impressive, especially when they were showing the footage of Metroid Prime 4.
Oh my gosh!
Those visuals. I was really impressed. I wasn't expecting Nintendo to do this, but it kind of felt like, this is my opinion, but something I've heard is like, everyone was talking about, Nintendo consoles, always underpowered. They're like, okay, fine. You know what? Take this 4K graphics. Here, take it.
Exactly. Which is,
it's very, 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 very cool. Overall, I'm looking forward to it. And again, also, I guess we'll talk about prices and stuff later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very much I plan on getting one, and I'm I'm digging the features so far and everything that they've announced.
Anne?
Well.
Here we go.
Don't get me wrong. There are some really cool features that I think are pretty cool. Like, for instance, the 4K. And I do like the whole stand that they end up having so that you can actually, because I do portable, especially when I was going to college, I constantly had my Switch because I was bored out of my mind sometimes and I had to just get my mind off of things, especially school's stressful. So you just need to focus on something else for a while.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I was doing a master's program, which is worse. Don't get me wrong. I love those things. But there's some things that were brought up that I'm just like, that kind of made me go, okay, wait a minute. So I actually made a list, and I have them right here in front of me.
Oh boy, here we go.
Hang on. I know.
Have my glasses. I get all kinds of. All right.
Yeah, you're gonna hear it all. So one of my biggest issues with Switch, like basically throughout the whole entire thing from the first generation of the Switch all the way up to the OLED, and they didn't
quite fix it. Two generations, by the way.
Well, oh yeah, two generations. But the biggest problem that they still haven't fixed, and I'm worried that they're going to keep having it, is the Joy-Con drift. It was a huge problem, and it doesn't seem like they ended up touching that quite as much as I wish they would have. And so I'm kind of like, are they still going to have that problem with these Joy-Cons? Yeah, it's kind of cool that they have that magnetic kind of doohickey. I love my terminology, but...
It's very technical.
Oh, I know, right? But yeah, I have a little bit of an issue. Is it going to have that drift again? And that's why I'm not going to buy the first... when it first comes out, I'm not going to buy it until I end up seeing the comments. Oh, it has the Joy-Con drift. It has the Joy-Con drift. I have a feeling it's going to pop up.
Can I interject if you don't mind?
Oh, go right ahead. Cause mine's controversial. So
no, it's fine. I think they did talk about the Joy-Con drift. Cause didn't they say that they're not going with that, the Hall effect. Yeah. Joysticks or something like that. So they do understand, because remember they had a whole lawsuit with that, with the Joy-Con drift. So they're very aware of it, and I think that's what they were saying with the new system. They designed it so the way the Joy-Cons and stuff work around now, and not having that will probably, you know, ultimately, you know, be the result of not having Joy-Con drift anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think if they haven't fixed it, whatever they've implemented will fix that in itself, you know, maybe. So yeah, I know they're very aware of it. Yeah, I mean, hopefully too. Yeah, we'll see. But at least they're acknowledging it and trying to do something that help mitigate that. So that gives me more confidence on my end.
It sounds more like, hey, here's this cool stuff that we're using, and but they didn't specifically say there will be no Joy-Con drift, which is
exactly.
Kind of, I'm putting words in your mouth. That's kind of what you're saying. It's what they didn't say about. Whether or not it was present?
Yeah, kind of. They didn't have to specifically say, okay, no more drift. But it was just like, I kind of wish they would have acknowledged it a little bit more. But I do see what you mean, Jason. Yeah, it's like, yeah, they kind of did possibly fix it, but we'll have to wait and see. I'm just hoping, because that was the biggest issue that drove me nuts with the Joy-Cons.
I had it happen once. I've had three pairs of Joy-Cons. Only the original
lucky
ones that I had ever had drift. I still use my other two pair all the time.
Yeah, I'm an outlier. First of all, I don't trust Nintendo systems for certain things anyway. So I would barely use my Joy-Cons if I didn't need to. I always had a Pro Controller day one. But I've learned this lesson from like the Wii. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm different. But also too, like I got other systems as well. Like, for example, these Turtle Beaches, I love Xbox and all, but this is probably like fourth or fifth pair. Things just don't work, even if they have, or don't last, even if they have a seal of approval and all that stuff, you know. So I've gone through my games where, like, they make a new version of this controller or whatever, and then 6 months later, you got to return it. So I get the Joy-Con drift, but I also, like, it doesn't affect me as much because, like, I'm just used to it with other systems and other things. Like even when I played Street Fighter and I was doing you know, the comp scene or whatever, I went through like six controllers because Mad Cats, they're just terrible. Never get a Mad Cats. That's my interjection, yes. But
if you want a good controller, get yourself a set of. We're not sponsored by anybody. Before we get too far off on this tangent, let's make sure Anne can get through the rest of her list.
Oh, well, dealing with the Joy-Con, just to kind of go back just a tiny bit, all of my Joy-Cons have had drift, except for one.
Oh, man.
So that's why I am so pessimistic with it. No, I'm just like, it better be fixed because I want one.
She's like, this better not be a thing. I feel you. No, I get it.
That was definitely one of my top things because I'm just like, you better fix it. But another thing that... I thought it was really kind of, I did think it was cool dealing with the webcam, but when I was streaming a couple of years ago, it's been a while, but when I was streaming and when we were playing games with like multiple people, when one person had internet problems, it basically was having problems across the board with trying to play a game. And now we're trying to implement something with that's basically streaming with other people, I think it's going to cause even more problems if someone has a really crappy internet connection. So I'm just like, how is that going to work out? Are we going to basically see a slideshow of the person, or is it going to crash the game, or is it going to, because there's a lot of people who sadly don't have great internet connection. So I'm just like, I was kind of a little bit leery. Like, don't get me wrong, it looks super cool. Like, I think it would be cool to be able to connect with people and see their faces and being able to see their reactions or even rage. I think that would be sadly funny.
Mario
but...
Party rage. Jeez.
Yeah, how could that go badly for the internet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was another... What do you all think about that? Because that's something that kind of like, with the whole webcam.
Speaking of somebody who is... sad and lonely for pretty much his entirety of his gaming life, I don't use multiplayer all that much, and my streaming that I do regularly is always almost always on my own. Is that something that can happen with other systems or with the PC, that if you're playing with somebody and they get a wonky internet situation, wouldn't that kill both of their games regardless of the system?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know what? And so I guess I can dial back. You know, I said Nintendo didn't really come with the gimmicks. Maybe they kind of did. So maybe they figured something out with this. And I stream as well. Sometimes I have a camera. Sometimes I don't. Most of the time I just like playing in my voice. So it's whatever. But I also wouldn't mind like having friends and, you know, doing whatever. Would I use the Switch to do the streaming part? Probably not. So for me, it doesn't really affect me. This seems like it's like... like my first streaming experience for like kids. So I took it as that, you know what I mean? Like, but it's cool for them to have, you know, if they want to play and they want to see their friends. Cause these kids nowadays, they all do the FaceTime and all that. Like, you know, it's part of their life. So now that they have a system that implements that, you know, it's probably going to be something cool. Maybe it's not really for us older generation. I mean, I would still use it if you wanted to, but I also wouldn't be like miffed about it if they were like, nah, I don't want to do it. Like, so like, I kind of understand where Connor's coming from, but, as a gamer who, like, I do a lot of multiplayer games as well, as my single player, we, you know, we link up, we talk, we play whatever, but like, Caden said, we use Discord for like half of this stuff. So,
yeah, that's
like,
what I would do too.
Yeah. So it's like, it's cool that Nintendo has it now, but, you a couple years late, buddy. So,
know,
Well, if you haven't noticed, every single company out there wants to kind of monopolize your exposure, your connection. Apple's been doing it for forever. We see the Google's trying to do it.
Yeah.
Nintendo, same idea. You can do everything with our stuff. So you only need our stuff.
Come join.
Like even the way like Xbox integrated Discord with the system now, so like you can just do Discord on your Xbox now if you want. So like, yeah, I guess this was just like Nintendo's way of like, let's have something that we can have the kids do. I do like how the camera seemed to have that little background elimination thing, like
green screen effect.
Yeah, so that's cool because you know, there's going to be a lot of doxing going on, like, if that was the case, because these kids don't pay attention to stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was thinking more of the safety for the children, which is something that I think that's probably why Nintendo has, like, strayed away from certain things. Either that or they're just cheap in the way they want to do things when it comes to, like, you know, because you couldn't even chat on the Switch. That was a big loss for me. You know what I mean? Like, you had to get that mm-hmm. little app for the phone. And it's like, at that point, like you said, just use Discord. You can use Discord on your phone. You can use Discord on your computer. You can use,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. But I mean, I thought it was neat that they included it, but maybe it's just not for us.
Jason, thinking of the kids. Good job.
Yeah, man, they play it.
I think with the camera, and this is going back to what Anne was talking about, with like connectivity issues and that kind of stuff. I can't imagine that having camera issues would affect the internal gaming experience. Mm-hmm. If their camera's lagging or their connection is wonky, I can't imagine. I feel like it's a separate ecosystem than what the game is doing. Could be wrong. Nintendo has they do their own thing sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
They do things, and they do them sometimes. But yeah, I feel like it might be just its own connection of electronics or something.
Wasn't the camera? Wasn't the camera like a separate like accessory or something?
Yeah.
Could you do that? You couldn't do that without it, right? So you have to have that,
right,
to do it. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe
honestly, because it's a USB-C, you just need a camera.
Could be that, like, third parties as well.
Could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
this headset is an Xbox headset that I can use on my Switch, so.
See?
Yeah.
USB-C, I don't play in a lot of online games on Switch aside from Smash Bros.
Oh, bless and your heart.
Elite Smash. Listen, I'm still.
Listen, I love Smash to death. I was even a esports coach for a little bit, but that online is horrible. They need to fix that.
I miss Full Glory so much. Anyway. Elite Smash is killing me.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm.
With Smash, obviously, if you're in a 1v1 and one person gets disconnected, obviously the other person is going to get disconnected too. Just you can't fight by yourself. But if I'm remembering correctly from like the one or two times I've played online Mario Kart, also bless my heart.
Yep.
the if someone gets disconnected, I don't think the rest of the racers get booted out of the party. Gets replaced by a CPU. So I imagine, you know, even with the new camera features and with all of the new connectivity options, I can't imagine it would affect the gameplay. I could be wrong though. I haven't had any hands-on experience with this. Obviously, a lot of people
with all the stuff that I'm like bringing up, it's just like these are just like things that I'm just like, okay, are they gonna fix it? Is it gonna? Right.
They're good
is this
questions.
What's gonna
though.
Work?
I didn't even think about half this stuff.
Yeah, you have great questions.
Make concerns.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And don't get me wrong. I think I'm pretty excited about the Switch. Just these things, I'm just like.
Yeah.
I've had issues before. I've seen other people's have issues.
Yep.
They better fix this crap.
Anne's like us all. Like, we've been hurt before, Nintendo. Now we got to ask these questions.
You broke my horse.
Yep. Yeah, you've done. Listen, I was asking all these questions during like that latter end of the Wii era into the Wii U, even in the beginning parts of the Switch. So I get it. Trust me. Like, even like some games, you guys probably don't notice. I'm a bit of an audiophile or whatever. So like, I like my surround sound and all that. Some Switch games don't even have it.
Really?
Yes. Like, perfect example. Hyrule Warriors for Switch. Amazing. Has all the different, you know, DLC from all the other ones. No surround sound. But the Wii U version of Hyrule Warriors had it. So, that just little weird stuff that they do. Huh. Like, if you notice, Smash Brothers doesn't even have surround sound. And it's just, like, little stuff like that. I'm like, why do you guys not do this? And you research why, and it's like, oh, okay, because they didn't want to pay money for X, Y, and Z. And you're like, oh, never mind.
Money! Always the problem. Yep, never mind.
The answer to all of your questions is money.
Oh, gosh.
Anything else on your list, Dan, before we continue?
Actually, speaking of money, that was my next thing.
Oh, yeah.
Is all the right, price right controversy that's going on.
Here we go.
Let's hold off on the price. I want to talk about the system itself before we get into into the money man.
All right, because right. I am so confused about that.
She's like, we'll circle back to that.
we will definitely be circling back to that. In fact, that will probably be the next thing as soon as I'm done spewing my opinion. I saw the Switch 2 as the natural evolution of the Switch. It seemed like it had everything that you would more or less expect a upgraded version, if you will, of the Switch to have. Updated graphics, updated processing ability, updated memory, bigger, more responsive, and several of the features that you would more or less kind of expect the new version to have. I was very happy about the microphone. I realized that we will eventually get DS games on this thanks to that microphone. Which would be great.
And the mouse.
Yeah, the mouse.
Oh, yeah, the mouse.
Oh my god.
I don't know if I'm going to get it, but the idea of the wheelchair basketball.
That looked fun. I'm not gonna lie to you. That looked fun.
That's so cool that they have that kind of thing. And it expands the kind of games that you could play. I've never touched Baldur's Gate with my controller, even though I'm primarily a controller person. You could put Baldur's Gate on the Switch too. Easily.
Can I even interject? So
yeah.
Okay, so oh my god. I was trying not to nerd too hard. But do you guys remember
where do you think you are, Caden?
We're surrounded by nerds right now.
Jason.
Yeah, that's fine. So
Caden, where do you think you are? Where do you think any of you are?
So like I said, I play a lot of games, fighters, action, whatever, role-playing, FPS games, blah, blah, blah. One thing I said during, like, one of my times of, like, probably Destiny or Halo or whatever, I told a friend, I said, if they ever found a way to have it so you could use an analog to move, but have the aiming of either the mouse or the Wiimote, like how they did in, do you guys remember... What was that little game that came out for the Wii U where it had like all the different like games you could try out, like the different oh my god, I can't think of his name right now.
Nintendo Land?
Yeah, Nintendo Land. Perfect. So they had a Samus themed like event there, and you can move with Samus with the analog and you can aim with the Wii, you know, mode and shoot. And I always said if they found a way to do that for, you know, any FPS game that would come out, like that would be amazing. Here we are to today. You can do that with the new Samus, new Metroid game. You can move with the analog. You can aim with the Wiimote, it looks like, or the Switch Joy-Con or whatever. But it also has the mouse implementation as well. I was like, wow, like these kids are going to be these kids are going to be amazing at this game, because that's one thing they always made fun of with PC players when it comes to like crossplay and console, is that like most of the time they would say, you know, PC players had an advantage because, you know, aiming with the mouse is like uncanny, you know what I mean? But now these Switch kids will have that and the ability to move with an analog instead of having to use home keys. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine what the FPS scene is going to look like just off of that alone. It's like Fortnite. Could you imagine Fortnite players on Switch? They might be cracked out.
Honestly.
It's Fortnite. They're already cracked out.
That's what I'm saying. And you imagine this little, he's like, oh, what system is he on? He's like, oh, he's on a Switch too. They're like, oh my god, that's cheating. Oh, crap.
It is. It really is like a whole new way to play.
That multiplayer ability, though, the game share function. I love what Nintendo is doing in terms of making you capable of sharing your games with other people. There's the game rent out thing that you can do with the people on your family account, and now we have the game share where you only need one copy of the game to play it with all of your friends.
Yeah, and not just with like your friends, you can actually do it with your family members too. Like that was one of my biggest issues. Like we have so many family members and it's just like we have to go and get multiple games for like all the kids. It's like no, we can just basically be able to share just one cartridge without throughout the family.
Thought that was pretty neat too. Yeah.
And don't worry, you can learn about all of these features and more on their demo game. If you're willing to buy the demo game.
Oh my god, started on that.
Oh my gosh. As soon as I saw it, I was like, please, please don't make us buy this. This is like the perfect introduction, and it's a full game.
I know.
Oh, boy.
Isn't it funny? Didn't Reggie tweet about it just earlier today or something in regards to that? Like how they did
today,
the Nintendo
recently.
Sports for the Wii?
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know what the decision was to make them pay for, make you pay for that.
Zelda Universe, we actually sent out a social media post earlier today. It's like, if Wii Sports wasn't bundled with it, would you have gotten it?
Huh.
I would
probably
not have.
Probably not.
And arguably, Wii Sports looks or was more fun even... Not that the Switch Tour thing doesn't look cool, but...
Is it even much of a game?
I'm like, I don't see people like, oh, I need that Switch Tour. Like,
Yeah, honestly, it looked boring to me.
It looked okay, but would we go out of the way to buy this?
Yeah, it's a tech demo. Here are the cool features of this thing. It's honestly, it looks more like something you would give a prospective developer to be like,
hey, here are
the things you could implement in your new game on our system. Please make games for our system.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they should include that. I didn't see enough from it to really be like, this is something I need. It just was like, oh, this is something I would play. And it's like, oh, you got to pay for it. I'm like, ooh. I think I'll learn using other games that I actually want to own.
I mean, just wait for the next Zelda game, because that's what they always do. The tech demo is the new Zelda game.
I know.
And I love it. It's great.
I know.
I miss Nintendo Land so much.
I know, Nintendo Land was amazing. That's what Caden's right. See, that was like a part... Like, Switch Sports was good. Don't get me wrong. I mean, not Switch Sports. Wii Sports was good. Don't get me wrong. But, like, Nintendo Land, I feel like, was... that like tech demo for the Wii U or whatever, but the games were fun.
Surprisingly,
and
yes.
All Nintendo themed. Like I had a lot of fun playing with like my brothers and sisters or my nieces and nephews. Like every different game, the Zelda one, the Metroid one, like they all really did a good job with those. So that was a fun. I still have mine right here. You know, that was a fun way to show off that system. This one looks okay. But it doesn't have the same, like, I don't know. It doesn't have the same appeal.
Let's
that
be
the
frank.
Atari
it looks boring.
Nintendo Land did.
Yeah, all right. It does.
See, I was trying to be optimistic here, but, you know, all right, fine. Yeah, it's boring.
And I'm the only one that's like, it's boring.
If it was bundled with the game, I would boot it up. I would mess around with it a little bit, enjoy the little mini games, and then I'd be done with it. Yeah. There's nothing in there that says, oh, yeah,
why
this is worth both my time and my money.
I don't understand it either.
I'm also confused because, like, I'm looking at the Nintendo YouTube channel right now, and there's, like, a 26-minute video overview about the Welcome Tour from the Treehouse. So, I feel like all the details you would need
are in that, yeah. They did show a lot of when they were doing it, yeah. They showed a lot of the different stuff. It was neat, though, because you really get to learn about the system really well. But like you see, and there's like games that you get like leaderboard scores or something like that, but or achievements or something like that. But Connor's right, like overall, as a game, it's not that big of an appeal. It's just like something neat you could do if you like, just let me just see what this system does. You'll probably play it once and just never pick it up again.
Exactly.
Oh. Nintendo, I still love you. Sorry, let me stop.
Anne already mentioned it. Let's get into some of the logistics that we're talking about here. The Switch is set to come out on June 5th of this year. So in a few months, I'm sure we'll be having plenty of articles and podcast episodes about our experiences with this brand new system. The pre-orders were supposed to come out... Someone remind me when they were originally supposed
8th,
to come out.
The 8th, I believe.
The 8th of...
That was the
8th,
wasn't
of
it?
This month?
I think it was the 8th.
It was this month?
8th or 9th, yeah, but
it
got
was
paused.
One of the days.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, if you reside in the United States, you have no idea when the pre-orders are going to come out because they have put those on pause. And I believe Canada, they've put them on pause as well.
Yes. Oh,
poor Canada getting caught up in
in our crap.
Whatever the heck is happening in the United States right now, I don't care where you are politically, it puts our confusion on the Nintendo Switch up to maximum because we have no idea when it's coming, if it's coming, what price it's going to be coming in at. So here's hoping it doesn't cost us $900.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, that was like the biggest thing that was so confusing to me is I have read multiple different articles that it said it was going to be like $500. And then I ended up reading one that was like, no, that's not right. That's Canada's price. And then I ended up hearing that it was going to be like close to $600. And then I'm like, okay, can you like give me the right price, please? I kind of wanted to know.
Well, unfortunately, that's kind of the state of affairs we have in the current economic and political climate that we are in. We obviously we are a Zelda focused podcast. We're trying not to go too much into the roots here because we don't want to start talking about which national leader or party or whatever somewhere in the middle. Because honestly, we're all gamers. We're not economists. We don't know. But it's that level of chaos because we don't know what is going on because the producers, Nintendo themselves, they don't know what's going on. Now, the last I heard is that the tariffs have been put on pause, so they're not being implemented for a few more months.
For 90 days.
Since that puts us into July, that might, at least for the initial distribution of Switch 2s, might spare us from any additional price hikes. However, Nintendo is most likely not going to be announcing things until they have a more stable idea of what the situation is going to be like.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think as of now, well, as like the given on paper price, default price of the console, $450, I think is more than reasonable. For as much of an upgrade as it is from the original Switch, it even compared to, I say, quote unquote, competitors. I think $450, great price range for what we're getting. We're going to talk about game prices at all.
We could totally talk about game prices. We're in that discussion.
It's just hard to say really too much because, like I said, I've played on other games and other systems. But if you've been playing games in at least the last 10 years, you know, the model has always been base game comes out, DLC extra $20 to $30 to $40, battle pass extra $10 to $30. Depending on what game you play, and if you did pay for it like that, you're spending upwards of $90 or more anyway. So that's not a new thing. The other thing is, though, Nintendo's always been the quote unquote economic system for people, so the games usually cost less. But that hasn't really been true the last 10 years either, because let's be real, when's the last... Look at the prices now for Switch games. Like Zelda Breath of the Wild came out when? 2017? I bet you still is the same price it was when it came out. Nintendo games don't drop in price. You have to catch them on a rare time. So, you know, other games, other systems will drop their games in price. Nintendo doesn't do that. But then again, like I said, this is a new system, new, you know, economic blah 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 with gaming, whatever. So people are already paying these prices. And honestly, when I originally was thinking was, and a lot of people had this thought before like the Switch 2 actually was revealed, we thought it was just going to be kind of like an upgraded Switch, which it kind of is, but it kind of isn't. And the fact that it's on par with the consoles of now, like the PS5 and or at least close to that range, it kind of puts them in a different bracket now. Like before, when it was just a Switch and it was like they barely could run a game at 720 on the handheld, you didn't care. But now, can it do like almost 4K on the handheld alone? Like, that's different, you know? And this system is a lot more powerful than we thought it would be. So them asking for the price they're asking, and like Caden says, I think it's okay. Now, the games, that's debatable, but Tears of the Kingdom was like a perfect example for that. It costs more than a normal game, but it was a full game. Now, if it was a base game, 50, 60, and then they were like, oh, DLC is coming out, then would we be having the same argument, especially if you bought the base game in the DLC? Because let's be real, most games that come out with a DLC, that's just putting a full game together. It's not like it's extra content. It's literally, for the most of these games that have been out in the last 10 years, DLC is just the rest of the game. It's not really like something new. You know what I'm saying? So you're already going to pay $80 to $90 to $100 to $120 for these games, even though maybe not initially, eventually you will. But now it looks like, yeah, Mario Kart's $80 maybe, But is that just the full game? And are future updates free, or, you know, would add DLC? Is it free? Because, like, for example, like if you got Monster Hunter is amazing. The game is winning right now. A lot of the content updates are free.
Mm-hmm. All of the post-release title updates are free. It's only like the optional, like, cosmetic stuff and like just purely fashion gear that are cost extra money.
Yeah, so like if they go that route with like Mario Kart or games like that, I'm okay with paying that money if it's a full game. Now if it's $80 and then there's DLC and then it doesn't feel like a full game, then I have a problem. But if it's a full game, I don't mind that because, you know, like I said, most of us come from the older days when we got, you know, a full game's worth of material of a game or whatever for the price we paid. Even back in the day when Super Nintendo games were like $70 and $80. A lot of people don't know that, but they cost money like that back then too, you know? So, yeah.
Cartridges used to be extremely expensive back in the day.
Yes. Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
If any of you have been who follow Did You Know Gaming, they have been doing practically a series about old Super Nintendo add-ons that Nintendo was trying to introduce, almost all of them as a way to try and cut costs on cartridges because they were just so gosh darn expensive.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll never forget this game, Super Nintendo, Pac-Man 2, The New Adventures, one of the most amazing games I ever played. I saved my money and my allowance for that. That thing almost cost me $70 back then.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Back then. So, yeah, like.
That's a year's worth of allowance right there.
Yeah. It dropped in price for, you know, some years, or at least it was normalized or whatever it was. But, like, yeah, we've already been down this road before for most of us.
Yeah, dealing with it. Actually, quick question. What prices have you guys been hearing dealing with the games? Because I've heard that you had to pay $80 for digital and $90 for a physical copy. Or did I hear wrong? Because that's what I've been hearing.
Initially, I think right after the direct, there was like that image with, I forget what the currency was, but it was like it was the $80 physical, $80 digital, $90 physical. Apparently, the $90 thing has entirely been debunked. I think it's only the case for other countries, but completely talking about a American centric like point of view perspective, I think it's been confirmed that it's going to be 80 straight up.
Okay.
There was an interview with with Doug Bowser, and I think it was like yesterday or the day before, where he specifically talked about the prices of games, and I could be talking out of the side of my mouth right now.
I think you're right. Yeah,
I forget the details, but it was something along the lines of, you know, depending on the developer and what other qualities or whatever about the game, the range of price could range from, I think, 50 to 80, depending on the game, even first party Nintendo games. So it's like a variable slider, basically.
Yeah. From what I heard the highest price I heard was the 80, which is, I guess, Mario Kart. But they also have Mario Kart incorporated in a bundle. And it kind of seemed to me like the smart move to do, if you could do, is just get the bundle switch with the Mario Kart game, because most likely everybody's going to be playing that. So I kind of was like, well, it looks like it's less of a price if you get it as the bundle. Just do that, you know. Mm-hmm. But again, we don't know. Like I said, if they're just charging 80 for Mario Kart and it's a full game, I'm okay with that. If they're charging 80 and then they got a battle pass that's like $20 to $30 or whatever, now we can look at it sideways. But they didn't mention that, and I kind of feel like they would, but I guess that direct we're having, was it next week, Connor? We'll explain that more in detail, what they're going to do with the game.
I think they're having a specific direct about Mario Kart World.
Yeah.
So... maybe
yeah, I hope they end up just like really going into the prices, because like a lot of people are just so confused. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it has caused a little bit of, sadly, hate towards Nintendo, even though they don't deserve that kind of hate. Like, don't get me wrong. I do have my little pessimistic list, but I still love Nintendo. Absolutely love them. And they don't deserve this hate.
I would say that it's a lot of it is going to be the exact same reasoning that we've heard. We've talked about already in regards to the Switch system itself. There's a lot up in the air, and for them to just say right now it's going to be X amount of dollars that could end up blowing them up, blowing in their faces if suddenly things change and things become much more complicated. Something that I really enjoy about what they are doing is the upgrade packs. Okay.
Yes.
There's an updated Switch 2 version of Breath of the Wild. But I already bought Breath of the Wild.
I can't
Guess
wait.
What? You don't have to pay for the whole game all over again like I did with Hyrule Warriors three times.
Three times. Yes. Thank you, Connor. Tell them. Tell them, Connor. Oh,
that was
the big win for me. And it's funny because like even circling back to what Ann said, honestly, Ann, your list isn't pessimistic. Your list is like, let me make sure they give me what I need.
Oh, we need thank you.
So you're fine. Yeah, I thought you were going to be like, I hate it. No, you're fine. No. These are legitimate questions we need to ask. But at the same token, like even with that, like a lot of the people that were complaining, I guarantee you they own a PS5 or Xbox, or they may have a PC, which they have hundreds of games that they probably spend money on, unless they didn't. But that's a whole other story. But, you know, there are probably also people that like play like Fortnite or something like that, which, let's be real, Fortnite is fun. But people have spent more than that game's like, what if it was like 60 or 50, have spent way more on a game like that. Because at the end of the day, it's like, how much do you love? How much is the game giving you? How much fun are you getting out of it? How much enjoyment? So you can't really put a price on that. And even if they do, if people are playing Mario Kart and it's worth it, that 80 price tag is nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so
it's the laws of supply and demand. If people think it's too expensive, they're not going to buy it. And eventually Nintendo will have to be, well, literally no one is buying this. All right, we'll put it down. But it's Mario Kart. People are going to buy it because they think it's worth it.
They've been buying Mario Kart for years.
It's oh gosh, so many people are like, well, I have to because that's what they do it. No, you don't. You're deciding to buy. And I don't want to rag on the consumer of you're enabling them or anything like that. You don't know how good you have it. It's just how market things work. I am going to buy Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom again because I love them. And I want to see what else is here. The Zelda notes, the fact that we have added stuff in there with actual like notes from Zelda herself about stuff that's happened in those locations.
Big for the lore.
Oh my
Big
gosh. As a lore and immersion person, yes, please.
Yes.
Feed it to me. I want this in my life.
I can understand the grievances of not having it like in the game itself, having to get a whole new app. And in a whole other section within that app, I think it would be nice if it was sort of incorporated more into the game, like baked in some way. Also, I like that the way that they're doing the Switch 2 versions, it seems like there's sort of like tiers of prices based on, you know, whatever the content is. With Kirby Forgotten Land getting a whole new, is it DLC thing? And also Mario Party Jamboree getting a whole new mode as well. Those, I think, they're their most expensive Switch 2 versions, and those are $20. And then I think the Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, even that.
And something Tears else. Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom, but there's another one in there somewhere. Those are $10 upgrades because it's performance improvements.
Is it really only $10? Wow.
Yeah,
but check it out. If you have NSO plus expansion pack,
it's free.
You don't have to pay for it. And let's be real,
free.
They did amazing job because the expansion pack already was whatever. They put GameCube on there. Who's not going to get that?
Let's jump over to that right now. That is a beautiful segue. All right, what are you most interested in getting on the GameCube NSO?
Wind Waker Twilight Princess!
Yes!
F-Zero!
Yes!
F-Zero GX, arguably the best F-Zero game ever made. Wind Waker, of course, but I already had the HD remake, so I kind of been, you know, spoiled anyway.
I still want the HD remakes on the Switch, but like, I need
Have
that.
Any of you played Soul Calibur before?
I was going to say that next. Soul Calibur. Lynx in that one.
Yeah.
I suck at fighting games, but I picked up Soul Calibur 2 because it has Link in it. That's the kind of nerd that I am. I fell in love with it. I love using Ivy, and not just because she is super sexy. Because, holy crap, she's super sexy. That Sword of Herders is amazing, and I love it. Pokemon Colosseum. Oh my gosh, Pokemon Colosseum and Gale of Darkness are the kinds of things I have been begging the Pokemon franchise to do for years, and they've never done anything but those two. Bring them back, my gosh!
Something I'm really happy that even they even showed it in the footage or the gameplay or the trailer or whatever. Fire Emblem Path of Radiance.
Yes,
I am a huge Fire Emblem fan, and I am so happy that that game specifically was shown, because for the longest time, impossible to get your hands on because it's gotten scalped through the roof, and it's cost like $1,000 to get a physical copy. I played it a couple of years ago on emulator. I legally bought a PC copy. But I love it. But so many people, and Ike is one of the most popular Fire Emblem characters of all time.
Yeah.
But no one could play his game. So now they finally have a chance to, at a reasonable price, and knock out their wallets out.
And these are just the initial games they showed for the GameCube. Yep. Who knows what we're gonna get? There's a million, like, if they put Melee on there, it's over.
No, it's game
over. You know what I mean? Like, if they put anything else, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
it is.
Yeah, it is. But that's what I'm saying. Like, oh my god, you're almost not a Nintendo fan if you don't get that.
I was just looking at my GameCube collection: Star Fox Assault, which I would argue is the best Star Fox game.
I was going to say Star Fox Assault. That's my number one most wanted right now, because that is my number one ideal
Rogue Leader,
Star Fox experience,
which is an excellent Star Wars game.
Rogue Leader was amazing. Yep.
I have Lord of the Rings: The Third Age, which was just a great RPG. I don't think they'd be able to like get the rights or whatever to put it on the NSO, but it'd be so fun if it did. I enjoy
that would, yeah.
How about this? Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. If they put that on there, it's over. That was an amazing game. Like, that was so fun.
That was so confusing to figure out how to actually beat that game.
Really? I beat the heck out of that game. Golly.
I mean, I did eventually, but I was so confused. Like, okay, wait, how do I get to... And of course, this is me playing everything by myself, so I barely understand.
Four Swords
Adventures.
I was just about to say it. Four Swords Adventures.
Give me that.
With online play, with game chat.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes, please.
Yeah, that game was fun, man. One of the best Zeldas they ever did. But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so if you get that, and you already have a Nintendo Switch Online, which most of us probably will, you probably need to play Mario Kart anyway, then you can get some of these upgrades for free. So I'm fine. You know, I feel like they did it right, you know.
Also, a lot of these, I think the GameCube is kind of where multiplayer, because it's a home console, not a handheld, so I think multiplayer games, like sit-down couch co-op games, really started to blossom in this generation.
Oh, yeah.
Mario Kart Double Dash.
Double Dash is amazing. Mm-hmm.
Fighting games. Other racing games, Mario sports games as well. Strikers, yeah. I think Strikers was in the trailer as well.
Yeah, Strikers.
I think so.
Golf, Toadstool Tour, Power Tennis. Like that was the golden age of Mario sports, in my opinion. Obviously, Super Sluggers was on Wii, and that's peak. But we're not going to get that for a long time, unfortunately.
Yeah, and speaking of like GameCube, I absolutely am excited about the controller. Because I feel like the GameCube controller is like the best controller out of all the controllers.
Yes. Well, that's just my personal opinion. Like universal agreement almost. Like of every controller ever made, it's the GameCube on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I've started with the N64 controller and I'm okay with it. But it's just that GameCube controller. It feels good in your hands. Yes.
Oh, natural. Yes.
Yeah, Jason's actually holding up a GameCube controller right now. And I'm just like, yes, it feels good. It sounds weird coming out of my mouth, but it does. It feels good in your hands. And it's just the way the buttons are. It's fantastic to be able to get where you need to go. Some of the other controllers, it was wonky.
Yeah.
If your hand is not properly shaped for the controller, it just doesn't feel right. But for some reason, the GameCube, it's great for practically everybody.
Yeah, especially if you have like long fingers. I've got long fingers, and those just, it feels good in your hands.
It does.
I'm staring at my hands now like, okay, what
do I have long fingers?
I'm probably sure I don't. Let's turn now, as we, of course, we are a Zelda podcast, to the new Zelda game that was introduced. They seemed to imply that we were done with this era of Zelda. But no, Koei Tecmo was like, hey, guys, remember the Age of Calamity? Let's do that again.
Exactly.
Yes.
Age of Imprisonment, Hyrule Warriors.
It looks amazing.
I have a number of thoughts.
All right. Aiden, the floor is yours.
It's going to be the opposite. I'm like so super hyped up for it.
No,
me and Connor are like, choose your words.
By all means, go for it.
I feel my tone might have misled. I am actually excited for this game. I love Hyrule Warriors. Okay. I love Age of Calamity. I'm going to love this game. But I've just been, this is the one thing I've been thinking about for the past week, nonstop. I've been on Discord calls with my friends. We've just been hyper-fixating and theorizing about how things can go. So I have thoughts. So, I really, really want this to be an inline with Tears of the Kingdom continuity thing, as it is in Tears of the Kingdom, just now we're playing through it. I want that to be the case. I don't think it is. I'm not going to spoil Tears of the Kingdom just in case. It's been 2 years, but, you know, just cover my bases. I don't think we can
ears. If you haven't played it by now, and you haven't been spoiled, which I don't know how you made it this far, but good job. Go.
I'm not going to say the details, but I don't think this game could end how we know it's supposed to, just based off of what they did with Age of the Calamity, where, like, you're not just going to end the game where everyone died, you know?
I really wanted them to do it, too. I wanted a bad ending.
But and also, like, with the character roster, like, we have the Zelda, Raru, Sonya, the Sages, which is, there's four, five of them, so seven total Sages. I'm thinking past Ganondorf playable. Maybe the Koume and Kotake, the nameless Gerudo soldiers that are clearly Koume and Kotake behind Ganondorf in those cutscenes. I can't really think of anyone else to fill the roster without doing some timey-wimey stuff. And it just makes me concerned. Like, are they going to do the Great Fairies again? Are they going to do Hestu for some reason? Like, I think you'd have to bring, I don't want them to bring Link back, but like, how do you do this?
This is Hyrule Warriors. They have done time travel and time travel. This is Zelda. Of course, there's time travel involved.
Exactly.
Right, but like, Link's not supposed to be there. He's supposed to be in the future, but like,
it doesn't matter. You know it doesn't matter.
It's going to happen,
and the only thing is, like you said, Age of Calamity basically already spoiled the plot. We know how the plot is going to go, and it's all going to make us super hyped when it happens, completely kill the time-space continuum again, and we're not going to care because it's awesome.
I think it'd be very funny if we had a whole, like, a big climactic reveal of the future Sages, who already got brought back in time for Age of Calamity, to also get brought back in time for Age of Imprisonment with new powers
this
time. They're
all here!
Everyone's here!
And then Seth Ross ends up coming in just because.
Yeah.
Just because. Right. He's the hidden boss.
Yep. Oh, he's always the hidden boss.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, like, long story short, like, I'm obviously going to love the game. I'm going to enjoy the game. I'm going to love it. But I'm just like, how are they going to approach the story this time? Like, I don't think they would do the same thing again, but they very much could. So it's just like a back and forth in my mind.
Oh, you're not wrong. I've been kind of thinking the same thing because I've been talking to my husband about it. It's like, what characters are they going to bring back? Or if they're going to make new characters? Or because you can't just
bring
have
back
just,
Lana.
What?
Bring back Lana. I love her.
Yes.
Bring her back.
I'm thinking we're going to get a lot of original characters, a lot of OCs. Just like characters added retroactively into the context of the Imprisoning War. Kind of like Aster from, was it Aster? Age of Calamity?
Yeah.
Yeah, Aster. Yeah.
The wizard,
Koga's right-hand dude.
Suga.
Suga, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Just like original characters that are just added into the context retroactively. I think that might be, we might be getting a lot of those. I also really want, sorry to hijack the conversation, but
do it.
I need this game to give us the sages unmasked with actual names. And I'm thinking they're going to confirm that the sages' names are Medo, Naboris, Rudania, and Ruta. I'm thinking that's going to be confirmed. Because we have the lore saying that.
I thought you were gonna say Darunia, Ruto.
that was always the assumption. But like the lore says that the divine beasts were named after ancient sages, and we have ancient sages in this continuity, in this version of Hyrule. Now they have the helmets that are based off of the divine beasts were based off of. So it kind of just all comes together now. I'm thinking that's going to be the case.
That would be really cool.
There's one character
that
we're...
I swear, if they have another Koga that somehow is the exact same Koga...
that would be really awesome.
Look, that made zero sense the first time, because there's a 100-year gap. How the heck is Koga that freaking old and still as fat as he is?
Magic.
Look, the answer's always magic. Had that magic, and they all became pruned. Okay.
Did the Sheikah exist back then,
or not even that?
Or maybe this is like the Sheikah ends up being created.
Well, maybe.
So that'd we're gonna have Sheik in this game, is what you're telling us.
Yes.
I like that.
Da da da. Wait, why are you here playing a harp?
I think the main character that we're definitely gonna see that we need to know more about. Is the ancient heroes aspect?
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up as well.
You get that in Tears of the Kingdom, and you're all like,
"Can we not?
Who is this?
That thing? It looks so wrong."
Yeah, but it's like that has to be explained.
So wrong. It looks like It looks like Rauru and Ganondorf had a baby.
Not even that. My theory was like,
prove me wrong.
Not even. Yeah, exactly.
It kind of does. I didn't think about that. It kind of does.
But not even that. Like, maybe it's the child of, you know, Sonya and Rauru. Because there has to be somebody that carry that line on so it links back to Zelda if she has both their blood. So I was thinking that. The time travel thing is always on the table. Let's be real. Link's got to be in this game. It'd be kind of a big L not to put him in. So maybe, if anything, we just get like, maybe you'll see like the first Link or like hero of that, and maybe this guy will be it. But I mean, I'm excited to see how they did the story, because knowing them, they're gonna do it well. They kind of have no choice at this point.
There's always a choice, but they're not gonna screw it up.
You know why they're not gonna screw it up? Because they had the nerve to step forward and say, "Oh, this game is canon." So, okay, let's see you handle your canon properly then.
I just had a realization. So I'm going to love this game for many reasons, but primarily because, just like Age of Calamity, I expect it's going to add a lot more context to the world building of Hyrule. With Age of Calamity, we got to see the inside of Akala Citadel, and we got to see what Hyrule Castle Town and all these other regions looked like before the Calamity, like, apocalypse happened. So I'm thinking we're gonna get the same thing with Age of Imprisonment, with like how Hyrule looked back then. Also, we're gonna learn more about the dragons, I think. Dinral, Nadra, and Feroche. It is heavily implied that the dragons are transformed from Zonai.
Right.
The original characters we could be seeing in this game could be the three dragons pre-Dragonification as playable characters.
I hope so.
I just thought about that just now. I think that might be peak. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
I need that.
Honestly, I was thinking they would probably just have it so the Imprisoning War is like the main story, and then somehow it translates to even the Link we have in this timeline now, and then maybe something after Tears of the Kingdom, and then we have to, you know, use this Link and do whatever. Kind of like how they did in Hyrule Warriors, where they had like the main story, then stuff that happened afterward, like the Wind Waker timeline coming in, and or even when Ganon was finally revived, and then you was playing as him doing his stuff. So, I mean, I think they could do a real good job. Koei Tecmo has done amazing with the last two ones anyway, so my faith in them is already, like, I'm excited to see what they're going to do. But, yeah, I did not expect this game.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, I don't think any of us were.
It's like, what if they do this? And I'm like, seriously, why would they do it? And then they were like, oh, I guess they did it. Okay,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, they did it.
We'll enjoy this.
That was wild. Yeah. That comes out this year, right?
Yes.
Went toward winter or something?
Yeah, the winter.
Yeah, holiday season, most likely.
Coming this winter. I'm looking at the trailer right now.
Yeah, this game looks amazing. But, yeah.
So, now that we're getting kind of towards the back end of our time together, are there any additional games that were shown that you want to give a quick shout out to?
Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Big Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong Odyssey. I mean, Donkey Kong Bonanza.
I looked at the Donkey Kong footage before we started the podcast, and I thought to myself, you know what?
Game was
this
so
is Wreck-It
fun.
Ralph.
Oh, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is Wreck-It Ralph, but Donkey Kong.
And Wreck-It Ralph was human Donkey Kong.
Yeah,
so
quite literally.
They stole it right back. Yep,
they stole
it right back. They stole it right back.
There is nothing wrong with it.
It looks so fun.
If
There's
you
want to
beat the crap out of everything, this is your chance. I just thought it was
great.
It looks amazing. Like I didn't even think they had something like that in the works. But the more that I saw of it, I was like, yo, this is really Donkey Kong's Odyssey, but like as him, just, you know, unhindered.
Why did they give him pants?
But,
that's my only criticism. Why the pants?
What, are gonna give him the outfits like they did Mario in Mario Odyssey? So that's okay. You know, they're gonna give him outfits. Yeah.
In the Treehouse gameplay, he loses the pants in like one of the opening cutscenes, and the rest of the gameplay, he's just has a tie. So I think we're in the clear for the no pants. I think
they're gonna give him outfits. You know they are. Oh, you know they are.
We get a dress up Donkey Kong. Yay!
What'd you guys think of his redesign?
Yeah, I'm okay with that, especially for like the new generation to be able to get into Donkey Kong.
It harkens back to his original design, and so I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, is this DK Jr.? But I'm like, that technically is him. So
I really like I like the new, like the squash and stretch with his face and animations and like reaction faces and poses.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's all really, really, really nice and fluid as well.
Yeah, the game looks amazing. Honestly, like that's a safe one to get, I feel like. And it's kind of good to see him have his own game and do his thing like on that level, because Donkey Kong games were always fun.
It's been a long time, too.
Especially the Donkey Kong Country games. Those were amazing.
I'd like to give a shout out to Bravely Default. I haven't played the first one. I never did play the first one, but I started the second one. I didn't finish it, but the Bravely Default one is a stellar JRPG, great music, good gameplay as well, and way more balanced than I think the second one is, but that's just a me thing. Also, Hades 2, looking amazing. Metroid Prime 4, absolutely stellar.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There was one more. What was it? I'm looking at the channel right now.
I'm going to give my shout-outs to Professor Layton. I love Professor Layton. Give me puzzle games. Puzzle's fun. And for some reason, the way that the mystery that the Professor Layton games always tie each other up at the very end, always, it's so satisfying. And I love 007. I am so glad we're getting
that. Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I'm a big Bond fan. I've seen and own pretty much all the movies. But yeah, that's got me excited as well. I want to see what they're cooking up for that.
Some games from the previous Direct from the week before the Switch 2 Direct. The Fantasy Life, the new Fantasy Life game. Rhythm Heaven, as well as big one, Tomodachi Life.
Yeah,
there are a ton of just chill, relax, wander around type of games. Like, you can even throw Mario Kart into this now, since you can just go
since you can just drive around.
Wander around.
Mm-hmm.
The game from Software looks good too. What was it called again?
Duskblood.
That one looked good. I'm not going to lie to you. Like,
this is not Bloodborne, trust us.
Yeah, it was like giving those vibes, but it looked pretty neat, and you know, I was interested. The only thing I will say though is, but this is really them. This is probably more a Game Freak. The Pokemon game looked amazing on the Switch too, and it had me more interested in it for that than what they show when you just thought it was going to be on the Switch. So, because like now I'm wondering, like, will it be different than the Switch version as far as like content as well, or is it just going to be just 60 FPS and blah blah blah, better performance? So like now I'm like, whoa! Now I'm thinking like, what are you guys doing, Game Freak? Because this looks way better than what I saw on the Switch. Like, and I loved Arceus. Arceus was amazing. So
I was ready to give up following Pokemon like entirely. I have a whole recorded thing on my Twitch channel of like, I am done being actively following Pokemon. They are not doing anything that I need to pay attention to. The Switch 2 was once again like, oh my gosh, every time I think I'm out, they keep
pulling
me back.
All right. Yeah. I'm not going to get it as soon as it comes out. Let me wait and see what people are saying about it before I pull the trigger. But yeah, I am still keeping an eye out. It's the fact that it's all in Lumiose. I love Kalos. The fact that just in Lumiose, just like, why? Yeah.
But see, that's the thing I was wondering. Like, will it just all be there for the Switch 2 version, or will they like have other stuff? Because now you got like arguably a system that can handle more things. And if that was ever the limitation for the last couple of games, then, well, now you don't have that. Because let's be real, they put an Elden Ring on this system. Elden Ring. So we have some power
Final
now.
Final Fantasy VII Intergrade on it.
Yeah, like,
yes. Dang.
You know, we can do some more things now. And like, Connor's right. Like, I was the same way. Like, Pokemon to a certain point left it, came back in X and Y, loved it. Then after Sun and Moon, I pulled back out. Arceus got me right back in, and I love Scarlet and Violet for what they tried to do. I didn't like how it was implemented.
You but and I need to fixes... have a conversation about what Pokemon needs or needed to have done, but that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah, I am. Sign me up. I'll be right there with you, because they're not short on cash. That's a $1 billion company. Yeah. But, I mean, the Switch 2 version of the new game did perk me up. Like kind of said, like, damn. All right, now I know I got to get this probably now. Like,
And why? Are there any games that you want to shout out real quick?
You guys hit them all. Like, I'm definitely excited for, like, 007. And, of course, all of my beautiful Zelda games that I'm going to be probably playing for ever. And
yes,
I'm so excited that they ended up putting the GameCube app on there. Awesome. Because there's just going to be so many games. Like, I kind of like you, Connor, I ended up looking at my games. And I'm just like, I hope you get that. I was excited for, I think Luigi Mansion popped up, didn't it?
Yes, Luigi's Mansion's on there, yeah.
Yeah, like, I love Luigi's Mansion, and I hope we end up getting another game of Luigi's Mansion.
We forgot to mention Kirby Air Ride. Riders.
Oh, yeah.
Kirby Air Ride.
Those games are fun. The Kirby Air Ride games were fun.
And I think Sakurai's more experienced now, because he made the original one on the GameCube. With like, he has years of experience, decade plus, two decade, 20-ish years?
30 years.
30.
Well, after the first game, GameCube was, I think, 20 years ago.
Well, when it comes to Kirby's Air Ride, yes, but in terms of him being a developer, it's 30.
All right, but like, even like with all the years of his experience now, and even having the ability to make even more in-depth games, I think Kirby Air Riders has the potential to blow the original out of the water. And it was already a really great game.
He has a whole YouTube channel on the topic.
Yeah.
It's just hard because, like, I'm excited for it too, but they ruined me with the first two reveals for Racers. Mario Kart World Tour and F-Zero GX. I was like, oh, geez, I don't need anything else. It was like, oh yeah, and Kirby. And I'm like, okay.
Like, I kind of just slipped it in.
Like, yeah. Hey, why not? Yeah. You know, so, I mean, if they had just said, like, Mario Kart and then, like, Kirby, I probably would have been like, yeah. But it was like, Mario Kart, okay. F-Zero, yeah. Kirby, woohoo, yeah. Like, I don't know. It just,
woohoo.
I wasn't mad at it. Yeah, but, okay, all right. That's fine. Not mad. I mean, Kirby Air Ride was fun. Like, I remember that game, but Mario Kart and F-Zero just overshadow it completely. Like, if you have not played that F-Zero GX, you need to play it. Oh my god, it was so amazing. Put it like this, they haven't done another one since.
Really?
That's how good that one
that's
was.
That's the last F-Zero, right?
That's the last F-Zero. That's how good it was. That's how
people
good
have
it was.
Been
and remember, they had
for a new F-Zero game, and no one has been willing to take it up.
Exactly. And you have F-Zero stage, was a Mew City in Mario Kart that kind of pays homage to it. But, like, yeah, no, F-Zero was amazing. Like,
and Big
that
Blue
whole series
too.
In general. Yeah, and Big Blue. But, like, mm-hmm. the F-Zero GX games, they were fun, fast-paced, arguably difficult. Because if you want to get those little endgame cutscenes, good luck. Jeez. Oh, that was hard. That was one of the hardest ones, I think they said, but it was an amazing game. I really enjoyed it.
Yep. I would also like to say, if anyone is interested in Metroid, now is the time to do it. I need Metroid Prime 4 to sell well. I only recently got into the series, but it's going to be amazing.
Welcome in, man.
Welcome Metroid in. There is so much. I'm going to be, as soon as I'm done with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, I am streaming Metroid 2 and 3, so I am prepped for 4.
I think I'm the only one here who's like meh about Metroid. Don't hate me.
That's fine. Try the remaster they did for Metroid Prime. I think that'll pull you in if any of them were to.
Or even Dread.
Dread was great, but Dread's the side scroller, so maybe you wouldn't really.
There's also
like the side scrollers versus the yeah. Like they're all great. All the Metroids are great, but like the Prime series in itself is like. It's got its own special flavor because you know how like okay for example you had Mario games 2D, 64 pulled it in the 3D world amazingly, and you had the Zelda games 2D, Ocarina pulled it in amazingly. Prime was that for Metroid, and the remaster for the Switch is chef's kiss, and it's a lot more quality of life changes and everything. But if anyone will pull you in, it'd definitely be that one. And if you like okay I like Metroid after that, then Prime 4 looks like. It's spiritual successor for the new system, so that I'm over the moon for that.
I'll have to try it because I played. I can't remember which one it was. I played a little bit of it, and I'm just not a side scroller kind of person. I've never
tried the Prime series. I think you'll enjoy it because it wasn't so much about. See, the difference with the Metroid Prime series, it's not like shooter. It's about exploration and the scanning and learning about what's happening in the lore, and like she's going through all this crazy stuff. And oh my god, they did an amazing job. But at the same token, it harkens back to the old like the old Metroid, where you have to like you go to an area, you can't really do X, Y, and Z, but you go find a new upgrade, and then you come back to the area. Now you can progress. It had that whole thing to it, but in a 3D platform. But you don't have to be like a crazy good shooter to you know. They got lock on.
Which I'm
lock
not.
On every, yeah, you don't have. Yeah, just you can literally lock on to almost every single enemy, so you don't have
As
to.
Someone who
really be accurate
sucks
like that.
At first person shooters.
Me too.
Metroid Prime is great. Metroid Prime
yeah,
is great. Great. Mm. Even the higher difficulty ones, you can deal with.
Mm. I'll have to try it because just like I said, I just side scrollers, shooter games. I suck so bad.
Yeah, Dread was harder because it was more like the 2D ones, but I mean, that game was more difficult anyway. So if you're not used to it, I could see why I want to get you into it. But I think Prime would be perfect for you because you'd get pulled in, but you wouldn't be so hard pressed to like what do I do? How do I play? You know what I mean? Like it's not difficult like that. It's just an enjoyable game.
I'll have to try it out sometime. You've impressed me, so I'm gonna have to go and try it out.
Good job, Jason. Yeah. Good job. And good job to all of you. Thank you all so much for joining me. And thanks to all of you listening for coming and joining us as we discuss what is sure to be a exciting new venture in the world of Nintendo and in the world of Zelda. Anne, Caden, Jason, great to have all three of you here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you.
And we hope to see you all again real soon next time on the Zelda Universe podcast.
Been a pleasure.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.